commence this evening with hymn 758. Sons of God in tribulation, let your eyes the Saviour view. He's the rock of our salvation. He was tried and tempted too, all to succour every tempted burdened son. 758.
holy word of God. Let us turn to read this evening in the Gospel of Luke, reading chapter 16. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 16. And he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him, and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig, to beg I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill, and sit down quickly, and write 50. Then said he to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill, and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward, because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are, in their generation, wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. And it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail. Whosoever putteth away his wife and marrieth another committeth adultery. And whosoever marrieth her that is put away from her husband committeth adultery. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. May the Lord bless unto us the reading of his holy, sacred and solemn word of truth. And may he help us now to pray. O thou almighty, eternal and most holy God, we pray, Lord, for thy presence to be known amongst us here this night. As we are gathered together here, Lord, upon the evening of another day in the midst of another week, in the midst, Lord, of our earthly duties and responsibilities and business and all that we have to attend to. Lord, there's so much to hide thee from our sight. But now, Lord, we thank thee for the privilege, for the opportunity and for every desire in our heart to be found here this night beneath thy holy word. Lord, that we may fix our hearts and minds on essential, better, vital, eternal things. Lord, the things of our soul. Lord, the things that solemnly before us the day of judgment and our eternal habitation. O Lord, we can be so easily led astray by our earthly hearts, which are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. As we sometimes sing, Lord, concerning our hearts prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it from thy courts above. O Lord, do grant us here this night the help, the witness and the power of thy Spirit, and seal us unto thyself. Do separate us, Lord, from all false hopes and false refuges, which cannot save us from our guilt and from our sin. But we pray, Lord, that would open up to us the truth, as it is in Jesus. And may that abide in our heart through the witness of thy Spirit, that we may be found amongst those, Lord, whom thou doth call by grace into the knowledge of thy redeeming love, and there are kept, looking unto Jesus, the author finisher of our faith. O Lord, we would confess our many, many sins, our transgressions day by day. Lord, we need thy mercy continually. Lord, may we know something of that mercy this night. And Lord, if we are dead in trespasses and in sins, then quicken us by thy holy word. And Lord, if we are backsliding and straying from that straight and narrow way, then Lord, may thy Spirit bring our wandering feet back. Lord, if we are tried and tempted, that we are an outcast and not one of thine, then Lord, do come and confirm our interest in the Redeemer's blood. Lord, whatever our need is this night, spiritual or providential, may there be some word in season, some token, Lord, for the good of our soul. We ask, Lord, thy blessing at all times here, at every gathering together here in thy name. Lord, we commend to thee the church, the professing church. Lord, do grant that sweet unity of thy Spirit. Lord, may this be a place of that unity through thy love shed down, Lord, in the Holy Ghost, like that ointment that flowed down upon Aaron's head, down to the skirts of his garment. Lord, the unity of thy Spirit, the bond of thy peace, for there thou didst say, there the Lord commands the blessing, even life forevermore. O Lord, maintain thy church here, determining to know nothing amongst them save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Lord, be much, Lord, with them in prayer, in all their supplications, and in all their felt need. Do hear and answer, Lord, those heartfelt petitions which are poured out before thee. Lord, help the deacons in all their duties and responsibilities. Lord, may they know thy good hand yet upon them. And Lord, we would pray for each one of the congregation. O Lord, may that work of thy grace be known in each and every heart. Lord, do not let anyone pass from time into eternity dead in trespasses and in sins. But may each one know thy quickening power. May the gospel not be in word only to them, but in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, to know one's election of God. And so, Lord, call by grace out of nature's darkness into thy most marvellous light. And, O Lord, may that love of thine constrain to give that account of that mercy they have found for their soul. O Lord, grant prosperity, spiritual prosperity, in the courts of thy house here. And, Lord, may that witness go beyond these four walls. Lord, may that witness be made known in the way we conduct ourselves, in thy tender fear, at home, at school, at work, or wherever we are to go. Oh, may we never be ashamed of Jesus. Lord, our spirit may be willing, but our flesh is weak. We need thee to rule our hearts by thy spirit, to govern our words and ways, that grace may abound in every part, and teach our tongues ever to sing thy praise. Lord, remember any unable to be here tonight who would be here if they could. Lord, perhaps some are away at this time. We commend them to thee, watch over them, and keep them safe in thy loving care. Lord, be with the children. We commend them to thee. The little ones, the babes. Oh, Lord, do put thine arms about them and shield them from every harm and danger. May they grow, Lord, as their faculties increase, to love thy word of truth. And help parents, Lord, in teaching them the sweet and truthful things of Jesus from thy holy word. And Lord, we pray thou will grant fruit to those labours through the blessing of thy spirit. Lord, that the children grow as the lambs of thy fold, in due time as thou dost spare their lives, into the sheep of thy pasture. Those, Lord, that hear thy voice, thou doth call them by name, and they follow thee. Lord, be with the young people in their varied pathways of life, in higher education, in occupation. Lord, in those with young children, Lord, we commend them all to thee. Oh, do shield them from the many dangers that threaten to encompass us in this our land, threatening, Lord, our liberties, the liberties of worship and the practice of the Christian faith, which we have taken so much for granted. O Lord, as the weeks and months and years go by, if it is thy will, do not bring them into those terrible times of persecution and tribulation. But Lord, yet spare to us in our nation our freedom to worship. Lord, the freedom to preach the whole counsel of God. And thy spirit, Lord, to be poured out from on high and rule each and every heart. Lord, the privileges we have enjoyed for centuries, the blessing of the power of thy word, Lord, oh, do let it continue in spite of our many sins. And may there yet, Lord, be many called by grace to be a continuation of thy visible church here upon this earth, here at Swavesey, in our nation, even throughout the world. O Lord, do work yet in these evil days, and each of us, Lord, how we need to be kept, no matter what our age or pathway of life, to be kept in thy tender fear. Lord, to be kept trusting in thee, looking unto Jesus. O Lord, at the throne of grace, pouring out our hearts before thee, telling thee all the truth. And to know thee, oh, as that perfect Saviour. To know thee as the God that shall supply all our need, according to thy riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So, Lord, abide with us, and may our last days be days of blessing, and our end be everlasting peace. Bless thy word of truth, Lord, that is preached here. Lord, those that are engaged to proclaim the things, the truth as it is in Jesus, Lord, help them as they come. And may that word through them, thy word, not return to thee void, but accomplish that which thou doth please, and may it prosper in the thing to which thou doth send. Oh, hear the prayers, Lord, that are put up to thee by each and every heart. And may it often be said, it has been good that we've been up to the house of the Lord. He met with me there. O Lord, do come this night. Without thee we can do nothing. Open up thy word of truth, Lord, in the way thou wouldst have it. And so may there be application to each needy soul. We pray, Lord, for those that are sick. Those, Lord, that are unable to attend thy house. Lord, do hear their prayers from where they are. And still grant them tokens for the good of their soul. May they know those moments are rich in blessing, which before thy cross are spent. And Lord, could it be thy will to grant thy healing touch, health to the body, and also to the soul. Lord, remember those that are bereaved of loved ones. Lord, thou hast taken one and another of thy dear servants from us this year. And Lord, there are those loved ones and churches that are bereaved. O Lord, we pray for thy comfort and thy blessing yet to be poured out. That to those loved ones, Lord, thou wilt give thyself in power and blessing. Lord, to make up and even excel that which thou hast taken away. And Lord, to the churches do add, to those whom thou dost send forth to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. Lord, hast thou not begun exercises in one and another? And is there not the fear, Lord, to take the step? O Lord, our flesh dislikes the way. But O make willing in the day of thy power that they may go forth in faith, which approves thy will well. And Lord, bless the ministry through those whom thou shalt send to the blessing of many a soul. And those, Lord, who labour this day and throughout the week and upon thy day, upon the walls of Zion, Lord, we do pray that their labours are not in vain, but there will be a confirming of the word with signs following. So, Lord, still be mindful of us in this sinful nation. Deliver us from the power of the giantist and from the atheist and from the humanist. and from all those that despise thee. O Lord, do appear. We know not what to do, but our eyes are up unto thee. Lord, as thou didst help Jehoshaphat, so bring us deliverance. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus, and for his sake alone. Amen.
Hymn 1090. Prisoners of hope, to Jesus turn. He's a stronghold ordained for you. Gird up your loins and cease to mourn, and to the Lamb your way pursue. 1090.
Thank you.
complete dependence upon our Lord to open up the sacred and solemn truth to the good of each of our souls. Dear friends, what's been upon me all this day is the whole of chapter 16 of the Gospel of Luke. I know it's customary to take a text, perhaps a verse or a couple of verses or part of a text. And if you so wish, perhaps we will quote verse 26. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from hence. Words spoken by the Lord Jesus in this parable concerning the great difference between eternal bliss and eternal damnation. Between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. And neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Dear friends, how solemnly and yet how direct the Lord Jesus Christ speaks in this portion of the Gospel. There is no doubt that before us each, you and I, there is a solemn eternity. And when our breath leaves our body and we die in the flesh, then there will be no further change. In that day of judgment, it will be one side of this great gulf, or we shall be on the other. And dear friends, as there's no question about the certainty of this time that shall come to each of us, then how it should be our vital concern, our vital consideration, whilst we do breathe, whilst we do go about our daily lives, concerning our latter end and our eternal destiny. Dear friends, we do not come to worship just for entertainment. We do not just come as some order of manner of life and custom and practice. I trust, dear friends, we come to find, discover, to know the salvation of our soul. And also to find and to know confirmation, encouragement, that it remains so when we have been given some hope within our heart. How solemn if we continue our lives content, satisfied, just with earthly things, which in this day, in our age, in which the Lord hath caused us to be born, there is an abundance of such things that can satisfy us and lull us, as it were, spiritually to sleep, to be content with earthly things. And isn't it especially so when we are younger, you younger people, growing up to know and discover more of the things of this earth, and in duties, responsibilities that come upon you, new pathways. And how easy it is for all these changes and all these new things to fill your hearts and your minds. And you have from your heart those established ways which you wish to walk in. A man's heart deviseth his way. Your career paths, the things you want to achieve. And perhaps there's pleasing and pleasure in that which you've already achieved. And how well you have done, and so on and so forth. And these can fill our hearts and minds through pride and self-will that all is well, and we can have a religious aspect to our lives as well. But in the end of our days, we shall fall short of the glory of God. The beginning of this chapter of Luke, chapter 16, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. And he speaks a parable concerning a steward of a rich man. Dear friends, it's a parable which seems different to other parables. It seems, as we look at it, that it seems to be upholding that we should be friends of earthly things. And take knowledge and importance of them. But when we look at the whole of this parable, what does it teach us? The Lord Jesus is speaking concerning this steward who has come short of the requirements of his responsibilities to his master. He has been unfaithful. He has been unjust. He hasn't behaved himself perfectly as he should. And he comes to the attention of his master, who says, "Thou mayest be no longer steward." He's going to be cast out. He says, "What shall I do?" He knows he's guilty. He cannot plead any innocence. He says, "I will go to my master's debtors, and I will do that with them, seek to obtain their friendship. I will do that for them which is profitable to them, that they might benefit me when I'm cast out from my stewardship." And we read that the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. He didn't commend him because he'd been unjust. And he'd been unfaithful in his work. He didn't commend him because he said, "I cannot dig," being slothful. He didn't commend him because he said, "To beg I am ashamed," because of his pride. He commended him because he sought a way where he could continue after he'd been dismissed from the stewardship. Ian commended the unjust steward and says the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. There's an earthly wisdom, isn't there, which seeks so strongly for the good of one's own earthly self, to do whatever one can in the time of difficulties and troubles to gain benefit, even being deceitful more, adding sin unto sin, as it were. But, dear friends, the teaching of the Lord here regarding his people is that we, like this steward, come far short of what is required of us under the holy law of God. And one day we shall be called to account and give account of ourselves, and we shall be judged. What a need there is to find deliverance against that day of judgment. Now, like the worldling, we don't seek to worldly things. There's nothing here that can deliver us from that time of judgment, but we're to seek for it. And dear friends, there's only one place we can go, isn't there? And that's to the one, the only one, who can make up the breach, the vastness of our sin, of our shortcomings, of our failings, to put away our guilt, that in that day of judgment we may have hope to continue in life evermore. Dear friends, what a vital necessity it is to be given those hearts to seek after the Lord Jesus Christ, the Saviour of sin. This unjust steward, until he was called to give an account and threatened with the loss of the stewardship, dear friends, he would have carried on in his unjust ways. And you know, our own evil hearts within, deceitful above all things, desperately wicked, it won't bring us to consider the day of judgment and the depth of our sin and our shortcomings in that day which is before us each. What a mercy if the word of God comes in power in the Holy Ghost to teach us and show us that we are guilty. And if our soul be sent to hell, the Lord's righteous law will approve it well. The effect of that will make us seek for our soul salvation. And there's only one place it can be found, and that's at the mercy seat, confessing our sin. Wretched, guilty, of no goodness, of no righteousness of our own. Oh, we may have felt it previously. We may have been to the house of God all our days, but we've never come into the knowledge of how short we've come against the judgment day. A terrible disease is self-righteousness. It doesn't give us any pain, does it? That won't cause us to seek after the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's a bed too short and a covering too narrow. There is only one way. If ye confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Dear friends, in these parables of Jesus, oh, how we need the help of the Holy Spirit, don't we, to point us in the way that is everlasting. We, like this unjust steward, he's seeking for his deliverance and continuation of a satisfactory life in his mind upon this earth. Dear friends, we seek for that glory in heaven. Oh, what a terrible place if we fall short. The Lord Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All other things shall be added unto you." He is a God who supplies all our need. And therefore, dear friends, we are to live unto him, seeking his mercy day by day at the throne of grace, seeking strength day by day against the temptations and the trials of our faith, which come upon us. How easy it is in the midst of daily life, in the midst of the things we have to attend to lay aside these things that are eternal and fix our hearts and minds upon all things that are temporal, in ignorance that one day they've all got to be left behind and we shall need them no more. And yet in this teaching here of the Lord Jesus, he teaches us that we are to be faithful stewards in these things that we have to deal with in this life. We're not to walk and work and act dishonestly. We're to be wise stewards. We're to be honest. We're to be upright. And if riches and grace, we're not to set our heart upon them, but we're to use them as is for our good and our need and the necessities of life and for the good of others. The Lord Jesus says, didn't he, that if we are not faithful and upright in the lesser things, which are the things of the material things of this life, how shall we be faithful in the greater things, those things which are spiritual and eternal? Dear friends, our heart is one, isn't it? And how our heart behaves with one thing which is spiritual, which is material and providential, so it will work also in the things that are spiritual. And what a great conflict there is there, isn't there? The Apostle Paul speaks of this conflict. There's no, in our flesh, in ourselves, there's dwelleth no good thing. The law of sin is in our members. The good that I would, he says, I do not. And the evil that I would not, that I do. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Christ Jesus. Dear friends, where one's hope and one's trust is fixed, firm and sure upon Christ, through that manifest knowledge of his love and saving grace into our hearts, then there'll be that determination to walk uprightly in all things before God and before men. We cannot serve God and mammon. The Lord Jesus puts that quite clearly. For either you will love the one and hate the other, or else you will hold to the one and despise the other. Dear friends, where is your love today, this evening? Is your love in the things of this earth which we have to deal with? We have to work in, we have to do the business, we have to fulfil our responsibilities, we have to earn that which is for our daily needs, that we may eat and may drink. Oh, do we say by our own wisdom and our own might, our own power, we have got ourselves all these things? Or do we live in accordance with Ecclesiastes? We rejoice in these things, not through our own strength and wisdom, but to eat and drink and enjoy the good of all our labour. It is the gift of God. He has given us all things materially, and we are to bless Him for it, and to use all things wisely as wise stewards. Seeking, dear friends, not to use it to our own exaltation, but to use all things in accordance with His holy word, giving thanks unto Him that we have the ability, that we have the means of living as we do day by day, and not neglecting the needs of others. Well, the John is quite clear on that, isn't he? That if we have something, the means by us, and our brother or neighbour has a need, and we shut up our bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? How dwelleth the love of God in him? Dear friends, how do we use the material benefits we have? We're not to give that we are impoverished and another one extremely helped. No, the scripture says there's to be a balance. If we have by us what another person needs, then we ought to do it. And dear friends, this, a spirit, flows from the heart through the knowledge of what the Lord hath given us. As we have obtained mercy, so we are to show mercy, not only materially but in forgiveness, when people act against us. The Lord Jesus says, by their fruits ye shall know them. Ye shall know. Now our object of our first desire is to be Jesus, crucified for me, the only way, the only hope we can have of eternal life. And until that day, dear friends, to live in that hope, seeking to obey and do the will of God, His revealed will and His sovereign will. Oh, how this searches our heart, doesn't it? David said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. That way everlasting, dear friends, is to love God through His love for us. To ever be dependent upon that power of His shed blood to cleanse us from all sin, ever knowing our need of Him, and then to walk in love as He hath loved us. Well, the Lord Jesus passes on to a second parable concerning a rich man and a very poor man. And what a solemn teaching there is in this parable. this rich man given over to his own earthly circumstances, clothed in purple, fine linen, faring sumptuously every day. Dear friends, we don't read the Lord Jesus never said anything about any outward sin. No doubt a Jew, no doubt giving attention to the things of the Jews, to the feasts, to the worship of God, the attendance at the temple. He says nothing about any immorality, any adultery, no drunkenness, even though he fared sumptuously every day. Dear friends, as far as you can tell, this rich man was probably morally upright in all that he said and all that he did as he went about his daily business. But his heart, it lived unto itself. It was content without the knowledge of the mercy of God. Oh, dear friends, how this searches us out, doesn't it? Are we content without the knowledge of the mercy of God? We know not the length of our days, do we? We know not what another day may bring forth. We read that this rich man died. It may have come upon him suddenly. We don't read of any sickness. We don't read him coming into any sore trial and temptation, but all things going well. And then suddenly, he was in eternity. And we read he was in the terrible place of hell. He had a good burial. We read that. Probably laid in the grave with much sorrow and mourning, perhaps one of high esteem, and his presence would be greatly felt. The loss of whatever duties and responsibilities he fulfilled in his high office. But his end was eternal damnation, because he knew nothing in his heart of the need of the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse him from every sin. He's compared to this beggar Lazarus. Lazarus was laid at his gate full of sores. Dear friends, this is not a teaching that we have to be like Lazarus, physically in great distress, great poverty, and in sickness. But what we find here, Lazarus, laid at the gate of this rich man. And no doubt this rich man knew he was there, and passed by him every day, and never gave unto him. Oh, the solemn judgment of this rich man. Don't we read of it in the Lord Jesus speaking in Matthew chapter 25 concerning the day of judgment? I was a hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. The needy, the poor, the wretched. And they shall say, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and a thirst, a stranger, or naked, or sick and in prison, and did not minister unto thee? inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. Oh, dear friends, the hardness of our heart and the reasoning of our mind, how we can turn aside, can't we, to keeping the things that we have just for our own selves and ignoring those things which are of others. And those things there are all in the hands of God, life's minutest circumstance, subject to his eye. Dear friends, that poor one, that needy one, that helpless one, doing it unto them, doing it unto Christ, in accordance with his will. And oh, the solemn judgment when we turn aside and lift to ourselves and ignore the needs of others. Now, dear friends, this is not, let me put it like this is not our hope of glory in the doing of these things. It's the fruit of the Spirit which is within us, knowing that we ourselves, just like Lazarus was in the flesh, we are in the Spirit, beggars, full of sores, putrefying sores, sick, in need, as it were, crumbs from the Master's table, the treasure of his word to feed our poor souls. And having received of the Lord's mercy spiritually, or whilst we're upon this earth, to live physically, reflecting that mercy we have found. Dear friends, it's by these fruits we are known. And it's in these ways we find, don't we, the iniquity still in our own heart. A heart that is hard, a heart that is selfish, a heart that is proud and looks for self-esteem, and perhaps occasionally it might do that which is good. And then pride comes in and we're lifted up. That's our heart, isn't it? But dear friends, the heart that is truly exercised by the Spirit of God is one that is always completely dependent upon the Lord. No goodness of ourselves, only in need of all that he can give. Lazarus is a type of such a one who is in great need. He was laid daily at the gate, dear friends. He was lame as well, wasn't he? He had no one to give unto him. He just longed for this rich man. Not the greatness of his food. He didn't long for his clothing. He just wanted the crumbs. Been satisfied with them from that rich man's table. And being denied them, he died. But dear friends, in being dependent upon all that in his poverty, he was dependent upon his Lord for his mercy. Dear friends, he wasn't one given over to, in the time of his need, he wasn't given over to much rebellion. He wasn't given over to demonstration. He wasn't given over to his human rights, as we might say today. Dear friends, his heart wasn't selfish in that way. He lay there humbly, dependent upon what the Lord would cause in the means to be brought to him. You know, dear friends, there's many godly people, hasn't there, who have been poor, in poverty, in sickness, in distress, and there's been no complaining. Their hope has been in God, because within they have that greater witness that far exceeds one's physical needs. They have within the love of God. that good hope through his grace of eternal life, watching, waiting for his appearing. Now this was such as a Lazarus. And he was taken to glory, saved by the grace of God into the everlasting kingdom of God. And dear friends, there we find here the finality of it. Besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed. This rich man living unto himself, never seeking for eternal life whilst he was here upon earth. Ignorant maybe that probably that he was an unjust steward. Continuing in the materialism and the enjoyment of it. Taken into eternity, now in torment, able, as the Lord Jesus portrays here, to look into heaven. The Jews often called heaven the place of God, as Abraham's bosom. That's why we have the term here. And there, seeing Lazarus, and as Lazarus has desired just a few crumbs from his table when he was upon earth, this rich man now just desired water on the tip of Lazarus' finger to cool his tongue. But it didn't come. There was not the slightest mercy, not the slightest gratification, not the slightest relief given in this judgment for his sin. Oh, how solemn. And not only as it was with Lazarus, just for a period of time, but forevermore, evermore. There would be no further change from his distress. Oh, dear friends, these are most solemn, aren't they? And they're things that concern us each. And it seems so laid upon me to try and impress the seriousness of the day of judgment before us each, and to be ill prepared for that day. A great gulf fixer that they which could pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Oh, prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy spirit must the work perform. It is all of grace. Dear friends, Jesus is the one thing needed. As the hymn writer puts it, I without him perish must. With this rich man, he sought first what he should wear and what he should eat. And then anything of religious nature was put in second place. Dear friends, there's our hearts by nature, isn't it? That's how may we may be tonight. I don't know your case. I only know mine. I know my heart. Dear friends, that's deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. But oh, this God of grace, of love immense, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Pleading that righteousness that is through Christ, the cleansing power of his shed blood, the redemption price paid, that we be delivered from the bondage of sin, delivered from the wrath of God that is to come. Dear friends, how vital is our need. Now, dear friends, when that need is supplied, what a responsibility to walk in the fear of the Lord, to be kept looking unto Jesus. The Lord, speaking through Micah, says, he hath showed thee, O man, that which is good. What doth he require of thee but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. And dear friends, in that walk, by your fruits, you shall be known. The witness of the truth within you, that humble, tender fear of the Lord, to walk in the knowledge of his grace, preferring one another and all things before yourselves, willing to be in poverty, that another's needs may be supplied. Now that's the spirit of Christ, isn't it? Willing to fulfill his Father's will, to lay down his life a sacrifice for sin, being forsaken by the Father as he felt it upon the cross, as he bore the sins of many, that you and I as guilty sinners may not be forsaken, may not be left to perish in our sins. Oh, that Spirit of Christ. If we've not the Spirit of Christ, we are none of his. And if we're none of his, dear friends, then this solemn hell awaits us. Beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from thence to you cannot, neither they can pass to us that would come from thence. The sentence in that last day is, depart from me, ye cursed, or come, thou blessed of my Father. Enter thou into the joy of my Lord. And so the question lies, doesn't it, how stands the case, my soul with thee? For heaven, are thy credentials clear? O, the Lord appear, to know our Jesus crucified, to be far excel all things beside, to be willing to depart from all, to lose all, and to follow him, pressing towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. The Lord bless his own word. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Richard Field is expected to preach next Lord's Day. There will be a prayer meeting on Monday evening and Mr. Pocock on Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 1033. In Jesus combine all the riches of grace. What glory and grandeur I see in his face. Jehovah's eternal and co-equal Son took all our transgressions and made them his own. 1033.
O Lord, do deliver us each from our just desert, and set the knowledge of thy redeeming love through the blood of Jesus Christ within our hearts. And may that be our glory. Lord, the glory of the cross of Christ, far in excess of all the riches of this world. And help us, Lord, to handle and use those things which thou doth grant to us wisely, as good stewards, for the help of our daily needs and for the help of others. Guide us, Lord, and give us wisdom in all these things as we would look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and prepare us for that last day, that the fruit of thy Spirit may be seen in us on that solemn occasion. O Lord, do prepare us, go before us, help us and uphold us, increase our faith, and may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost abide with us now and forevermore. Amen.